Bless is going to hand out evaluation forms for all of you. We can get feedback after the sermon. Jack actually is in the same class right now. Jack, where did I see you? There. And so starting, when do you preach, Jack? 2 weeks? 2 weeks from this Thursday, Jack is going to get an opportunity to preach. And yes, I will be able to give him feedback on that. So there we go. There you go. Well, I actually preached on Thursday a sermon in the class and sort of tried to give an example of the model that we're looking at. And I say this with all sincerity, I share with the class that I am in the process of learning how to do this as well, and I'm not the expert, so I'm glad to be here. Sandy and I are actually very thankful to be here. It's been a long time since we've been able to join you. Some faces look familiar, but many don't, and so that's great. I'm thankful for that as well, and so it is just great to be here. I want to bring you greetings from Columbia Bible College. I understand that you have at least 4 students, I think, here this year. I'm curious, by show of hands, how many of you have ever attended Columbia Bible College? It's about 10 or so. That's great. Thank you. Fantastic. We have about 420, I think, students this semester. We're now into week 7, so this was midterm week, although I found out that this week I found out that a lot of students are having midterms next week as well. So it's kind of the crunch time. So if you feel so inclined, if you think about it, pray for your students, especially that are here that are at CBC, if you think of them, and just pray for them as they continue to study. We're just so thankful for your support for Columbia, and so we give you thanks for that. Thanks also for just inviting me to be here to speak to you today. We trust that as, my prayer always is that as we open the word together, that we will hear together from God. And so let me pray with us as we start. Lord, I simply ask that you would, through your Holy Spirit, take the words that I have to say, and that you would open our ears to hear from you, that you would allow us to have a sense of what you are saying to us, so that you want us to do with what you are saying to us, so that we know how to live this out, work with this in our lives. And so we give you thanks for that. I pray that I would get out of the way of whatever you want to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before, in my comments, just before I prayed and in my prayer, and actually at least twice already in the service, I think, Frank, in your announcements, and I think Bob, maybe in your prayer or something, you've taught, we've mentioned this phrase a number of times. We want to hear from God. We want to hear from God. It's interesting that that's a phrase that we use a lot in Christian circles. We want to hear from God. But if you would ask your friends, if you'd ask those that you work with, those that maybe are not seeking to follow Jesus, and if you talk to them about hearing from God, you might get an interesting response from them. Last spring, this past spring, on a program called The View, which I don't watch ever, although I do sometimes, one of the hosts, I think her name is Joy Behar, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, was making a comment. And they got a bit of a discussion on, I think it was about Vice President Pence in the United States, and this isn't a comment one way or the other about the president, the vice president in the States. But he had made a comment about that he heard from God. And then she made this comment. We've got a 40-second clip. Just listen to this carefully. So our friends out there who maybe aren't seeking to follow Jesus maybe have a different perspective when you say, I want to hear Jesus. I want to talk to Jesus. I want, you know, what did she say, Joy said? What did they call, when you hear voices, that's, what is that? That's mental illness. You've already declared a number of times today as a church that you want to follow after a practice that apparently is mental illness because you want to hear from God. That's how society, at least out there, kind of views that idea. But if I wonder if sometimes even those of us who are seeking to follow Jesus, I wonder if sometimes even we struggle with that idea of hearing from God. We won't do this now, but if I would say to you, take 20 seconds and turn to the person beside you. Don't worry, we're not going to do it. Relax. But if I would say, take 20 seconds to tell the person about the last time you heard God speak to you, I think it would be fascinating for me to watch that from up here. Like some of you would go, you start talking. Others of you would go, Doug, what, talking to Jesus, like God, Jesus talking to, what are you talking about? Like I really think some of us struggle with that concept. Some of us might have a hard time thinking, when was the last time that I heard from Jesus? Like really, when, you know, what in a tangible way, when was that? And so we have different responses to this idea, and yet I am convinced that even though we may struggle with understanding how it works or how often it happens, I believe that the reality is that as followers of Jesus, we want to hear from God. We want to hear from God. In this past week or this past month, did you have a need to make an important decision in your life? I think if you did, you had a desire in that time to hear from God. Think about the times as a church, as a community, where you need to make decisions about things like budget or next steps or maybe hiring somebody or other important decisions. I suspect that as a community, you want to, what? Hear from God. This past week in class, I shared with Jack and the others about a time when Sandy and I graduated from college. And we waited 3.5 years before we found a position in a church. We thought we'd go right from college to church, and it was 3.5 years. And Sandy and I desperately during that time wanted to hear from God. Like we would spend time in praying, God, speak to us, tell us something here. I suspect that many, if not all of us, have had times of uncertainty or times of pain or times of hurt in our lives. And in those times, we have turned to God. And not only have we wanted God to bring comfort and compassion in our lives, I suspect we have also prayed things like, God, lead us. God, show us what we should do. God, help us determine what our next steps should be. And in essence, what we were saying is, as followers of Jesus, we want to hear from God. Does that sound accurate? Amen. Does that sound like where you have been in your lives? Times where you said, yeah, I would love to hear from God. And not only is it true that we as followers of Jesus want to hear from God and want to be able to hear what he has to say in our lives, I believe that our God wants his followers to hear from him. I think we see that in a wide variety of passages in Scripture, but I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 30 today. And if you have your Bibles, you can follow along, or if you have your phones, you can look it up on your phone or whatever other way you want to do this. Isaiah chapter 30. And we want to focus this morning, or I want to focus this morning primarily on, I think it's verses 18 to 22 or something like that, but let me give you a bit of the context here. God's people of Israel, are in trouble. They are being threatened by the Assyrians. There is a situation that's happening, and they're struggling with that. And it appears, and this is the bizarre thing to me in this passage, it appears that although God has a plan for them, the people of God don't want to listen to him. They don't want to pay attention to his plan. Verses 1 to 18 in Isaiah chapter 30 talk about the Israelites, the people of God, as obstinate people. People who are making their own plans based on human wisdom. They were going where they wanted to go. They were looking for help where they wanted to find help, but they weren't looking to God for that help. It actually says that they didn't want to hear what God has to say. If you take a look at chapter 30, verse 10, they said to the seers, "See no more visions." And to the prophets, "Give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel." God's people, the Israelites, were saying in that verse, they're saying, don't tell us what God really wants us to hear. That's maybe too difficult for us. So instead, tell us pleasant things. Things that are not hard or difficult to hear. These were people who clearly did not want to hear from God or respond to what he was saying to them. And I find that bizarre. I find that bizarre. And then I think about my own life. If I'm really honest, there were times in my life where I didn't want to hear from God. Yeah. Times where I wish, please tell me pleasant things. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not all that much different than the people of Israel. So let's pick it up then at verse 18. Despite the attitude of these obstinate people, verse 18 shows us just an amazing, gracious God. Verse 18, yet, despite you being an obstinate people, despite you not wanting to hear, despite you wanting to be told pleasant things, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Verse 18 shows us that this God is a God of grace, a God of compassion who is waiting for his people. And what is he waiting for? He's waiting for his people to start waiting for him. Think about that. God is revealing himself as a God who, despite what the people have done, is waiting for his followers to hear him and to respond. Think about how this points to a gracious God. A God who, even though the people don't want to hear from him right then, he's saying, I'm here. I'm waiting. When you're ready, I'll be ready. And then we pick it up in verse 19. Let me read from 19 to the end of verse 22. O people of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Listen to this verse. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Then you will defile your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold. You will throw them away like a menstrual cloth and say to them, away with you. We truly have an amazing God. Even an obstinate people who don't want to hear from God, God says, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you to start waiting for me. And what's he waiting for? Well, part of that waiting for him is things like praying, seeking guidance, asking for help, turning to him. And then we read that verse, and I want to read it again, that wonderful promise that we have in verse 20. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Think about that. Think about that in your own life. Even if you have been in the last weeks or months or even years having no desire to hear from God, you've been kind of going through the motions, God is still saying, "I'm here." When I think about that verse, I like what my friend Steve Clausen, who heads up the Mark Center in Abbotsford, says in his book. He wrote a little book called Your Ears Will Hear. And he says there's three things about this verse that are really important. First of all, this verse is personal. Your ears. That "your" includes each one of us this morning. Your ears. This verse is certain. Your ears will hear. Your ears will hear. There is no might or there is no maybe, but yours will hear. We are all created with the ability to hear from our God. And our God wants us to hear from him. And I believe this promise is also specific. So it is personal, your ears. It is certain, your ears will hear. It is specific, your ears will hear. This is the way, walk in it. It seems to clearly imply that what we will hear when we need to hear it is something that is personally for us. It's part of our life. This is practical stuff. This week, as we have decisions to make, this week, as we struggle to know what to do, remember, your ears will hear. This is the way. Walk in it. And as I spent time reflecting on that verse a little bit more, it also struck me about the idea that voice that I will hear is behind me. And has that idea has been an encouragement to me. Think about that for a moment. No matter where I go, no matter what choices I make, even when I make bad choices, wrong choices, God still says, "Hey, guess what? I'm figuratively just over your shoulder. I'm following along. I'm there. I'm going to continue to tell you and nudge you. This is the way you should go." It's the image of a shepherd who leads while walking behind his sheep. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We have the opportunity to listen this week to our God, the God of the universe, the Creator, the God who is holding everything together, cares enough about you and enough about me to speak into our lives. That just, I find that amazing. Our God wants, he longs for followers, his followers to hear and to respond. Now this passage seems to give the idea that God's voice is audible. And I wanted to address that a little bit. I don't know about you, that's not how God speaks to me. I can probably say maybe two times in my life where I would say I've heard an audible voice that I would attribute to God. God usually speaks in different ways to me. And so how does God speak? I suspect that God speaks in a whole wide variety of ways that we're not even aware of sometimes. But I think there are three main ways that we see throughout Scripture. I think God first and foremost speaks through Scripture. Through his word. As you read his word, God speaks to you. When you get that, when you're in your daily devotions and you read something, you go, that applies to this in my life. Guess what? That's God speaking. That's the Holy Spirit taking what you're learning. And so I think the second way that God speaks is very common is through his Spirit, through his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us as followers of Jesus. God speaks through his Spirit in perhaps dreams or in inner senses that we have or insights that we gain or promptings, nudging that can only be explained because it's his Spirit that's at work. And I think God also speaks through his people, through the community. I think God will speak to us through others in our community. And that's why being part of a community and integrated into a community is so important at a church family. And I think often what we hear through the Word and what we hear through the Spirit should be confirmed in our hearts through the community that we're a part of. So God speaks in those ways. It's not always an audible voice, although it may be. And so think about that. God longs for his followers to hear through Scripture, through his Spirit, through community, through other ways possibly. And not only to hear, but also to respond. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was working through this, I can imagine you thinking, as I'm saying this, yeah, Doug, I believe that. I hear you saying that. But I haven't necessarily experienced that very often in my life. And sometimes when we don't experience what we think we should experience, when we don't experience a sense of God speaking to us, or we don't think we're hearing him well, we think that there is something wrong. Because if we're honest, sometimes our hearing doesn't seem to be so good. And we get discouraged by that. I have a good friend that I meet with every month or two, and we talk about all kinds of stuff. He's had a lot of stuff happen in his life. But every so often we talk about this idea of God speaking to us. And there's that sometimes we get kind of discouraged. I have to admit that. I think in hindsight, I look back in our conversation saying, man, that was kind of depressing. And what it is there's that sense that we almost convince ourselves, well, God doesn't speak to us because we're not special enough. Like we're not spiritual now. Only the really spiritual people in the Bible God spoke to in that way, and we're just not that, so it's okay if we don't hear from God. And there's that sense or that admission that, you know what? Something isn't quite right, but we long for more. We long for something to be different. Let me ask you this. If we have a longing, and as followers of Jesus, we want to hear from our God, and if our God really wants us to hear from him, why is it then that sometimes our hearing isn't so good? All kinds of reasons. I mean, sometimes it may be that, like the people of Israel, we really don't want to hear from God, and so we just shut him out. I think sometimes our hearing isn't so good because we blame God somehow for something, and we don't want to listen to him because of that. I wonder if sometimes it's a bit more subtle, though. My dad passed away probably about 8, 9, 10 years ago at the age of 93. And the last number of years of his life, he couldn't hear out of one ear, and he had not a great hearing in his other ear, but he had a hearing aid. And we had some great conversations. Physically, his body was dwindling away, but mentally he was there, and we could have some great conversations together. And one morning, he woke up, and he lost his hearing in his good ear. And it was frustrating. He knew that that was the end of having meaningful, at least, interaction in an easy way, at least. And we took him to the hearing aid place, and they tried to adjust his hearing aid. That didn't help. And he got a bit more discouraged. And finally, we were able to get an appointment with his family doctor, and his doctor looked into his ear, and my sister was with him. And the doctor went, kind of hemmed. And then suddenly he walked over, to the drawer, opened the drawer, picked out a really long tweezers, walked back to my dad, shined the light in his ear with his tweezer, reached in carefully, slowly pulled out a huge chunk of earwax. And my dad could hear again. In fact, he thought he could maybe hear better than he had for a year or two. Like, he was quite pleased with this whole process. And the doctor said what had probably happened is the earwax had, my dad's hygiene meant, ear hygiene at least probably hadn't been the best, and the earwax had slowly built up, and then sometime during that night, he had moved his head or somehow it had dislodged and it had kind of fallen into and really muffled his hearing. And when your ear hearing isn't good to begin with, that just blocked it. I wonder how many of us have spiritual earwax. Things in our lives that we have slowly let build up. Things that we maybe even don't pay attention to, but they're helping hinder our hearing of God. Things that just slowly block our ability to hear. And they get bigger and bigger and bigger. The earwax for the people of Israel, according to verse 12 in the passage, was that they rejected God's message, they relied on oppression, and they depended on deceit. What might be our earwax? Little things, like I said, that are hindering our hearing. Perhaps things that are distracting us from spending time in God's word. Or maybe a bad attitude toward those in our community, or subtle ongoing choices to ignore the nudging of the Spirit in our lives. Or, and I suspect if there's something in your life right now, you know exactly what it is. I don't have to speak it. The good news for us this morning is the same good news that Isaiah gave to those in it, the people of Israel. Listening to our God and responding to him is not just for the really spiritual people. Listening to our God is for all of us. He is waiting for us. He is gracious and compassionate. He wants to see us to see him and to understand him and to respond to him. He wants to walk with us, whether we turn to the left or to the right. And he wants to say to us, this is the way, walk in it. And so as I conclude this morning, let me suggest how we may respond. Let me encourage us to at least seriously evaluate how our hearing is when it comes to listening to our God. What is it in our life that may be hindering you from hearing and responding to our God this morning? Is there spiritual wax that is building up? Let me encourage us to recommit to this process of hearing. Maybe we haven't even paid attention to it lately. We're just so caught up in going through the motions, we don't even think that we can hear from God on a daily basis. Let's recommit to that. Let's give thanks for those times that we have heard from God. Those times that God has spoken, those times that God has said, this is the way, walk in it. And then let's commit this week more actively to more active listening in our lives. Maybe you want to wake up every morning, the first thing you say is, God, help me to be open to what you want to say to me today. And then believe that God will have something to say. Determine how you might need to respond. Let me pray with us this week. Lord, I give you thanks for your grace, your compassion. I give you thanks that no matter where each one of us in this room are at in our relationship with you, whether we are close and we've been walking with you, or whether we have wandered away, or whether we're kind of just going through the motions, you are still gracious and compassionate. You're still right there behind us, walking behind us, saying, Doug, this is the way. Walk in it. I pray that you would help us to remove that wax that needs to be removed. I pray that you would help us to focus on hearing and listening from you. I pray that you would move us to want to be obedient to what you're saying to us. And we give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen.